who weren't doing like temple duties, like our peaks and things, but there were, you know, pujaris and cooks were going and cleaners were going. So, and we're all, and so, you know, I've always, not only me, but others were like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with all the duties? And, but you realize, this is different, but a little different. But it happens, and then you realize that everybody else has to step up. And it's actually good when things like that happen, or when there's a huge festival, like the 50th anniversary festival, or Ratiyatra festival, where everybody's pushed to do a lot more than usual, and you may, devotees are thinking, well, what's going to happen? How can I do it? How can this happen? This is too big. But then you realize that it can happen, and it does happen, and things go well. And the result, one result is that everybody becomes stronger. Everybody realizes they can do more than they thought they can do. Or maybe they can't. Maybe they have to, maybe some devotees can't. But they also, there's also many lessons there for everyone. But mostly the devotees realize that they can step up and exceed their own expectations of themselves and their own expectations of other devotees. And Prabhupada gave one example of how he started Krishna consciousness and how everything happened, like amazing things happened just seemingly from out of nowhere. He said, I came to the United States. He gave the story of a man who was walking along the street, and he picked up, he found a gourd and he picked it up, and he found a stick and he picked it up, and he found a wire, and he put them all together, he made a veena. And he said that was, he said that's how I did. I came to America and I found all the young men and women, the hippies and rejected people who were lost, didn't know what they were, nobody knew what they were doing, just wandering sort of aimlessly. And Prabhupada put them all together and he made something wonderful out of, something wonderful happened. A couple of early devotees, the husband and wife, they went to San Francisco and somehow they started a little temple there. And as soon as Prabhupada went there, then things just magically happened. Huge expansion, practically overnight. The prasadam distribution, and many devotees coming, and huge public appearances, and just amazing things happening. So it's still like that today. There's nothing essential has changed in the material world, especially in Kalyuga. It's always like that. We're always just, it's always a bunch of ragtag people just running around aimlessly, and all, and it, of course now there's a huge ISKCON organization, but still, the essential things are still the same, the very basic things. So I'll start the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a couple of books here. So we're on the 12th chapter, verse number 1. Prabhugana uvacha
namo namah karana vigrahaya
namo namah karana vigrahaya
swarupa tuchi krita vigrahaya
Vipakrita Vigrahaya
Namo Vadhuta Dijabandhulinga
Namo Vadhuta Dijabandhulinga
Nibhuta Nityaru Bhavaya Tumya Nibhuta Nityaru Bhavaya Tumya Rahugana Uvacha
Rahugana Uvacha
Namo Namo Karana Vigrahaya
Namo Namo Karana Vigrahaya
Charupatuchi Krita Vigrahaya
Sumapatuchi Krita Vigrahaya
Namo Vadhuta Vijamandalinga
Namo Namo Vadhuta Vijamandalinga
Nibhuta Nityana Bhavaya Tubhyam
Nibhuta Nityana Bhavaya Tubhyam
Rahugana Uvacha
Rahugana Uvacha
Namo Namo Karana Vigrahaya
Namo Namo Karana Vigrahaya
Sarupatuchi Krita Vigrahaya
Sarupatuchi Krita Vigrahaya
Namo Vadhuta Vijamandalinga
Namo Vadhuta Vijamandalinga
Nibhuta Nityana Bhavaya Tubhyam
Nibhuta Nityana Bhavaya Tubhyam Rahugana Uvacha
Rahugana Uvacha
Namo Namaha Karana Vigrahaya
Namo Namaha Karana Vigrahaya
Sarupata Chikrata Vigrahaya
Sarupata Chikrata Vigrahaya
Namo Avadhuta Dujabandhuringa
Namo Avadhuta Dujabandhuringa
Nigodha Nitya Anubhavaya Tubhyam
Nigodha Nitya Anubhavaya Tubhyam
Rahugana
Uvacha
Namo Namo Karana Vigrahaya
Namo Namo Karana Vigrahaya
Sarupata Chikrata Vigrahaya
Sarupata Chikrata Vigrahaya
Namo Vadhutam Vijamandulingam
Namo Vadhutam Vijamandulingam
Nibhuta Nitya Anubhavaya Tubhyam
Nibhuta Nitya Anubhavaya Tubhyam Rahugana
Uvacha
Swarupatuschikaya Vigrahaya
Swarupatuschikaya Vigrahaya
नमो विद्युत द्विज बंधुलिंग
नमो अवधूत द्विजबंधुलिंग
निगुर नित्य अनुभवाय तुभ्यं
निगुर नित्य अनुभवाय तुभ्यं
accepting the spiritual man who's suffering me is as good as God. Was that his word? It's pretty close. It says the initiation means you're accepting the spiritual master as good as God, or as God, something like that. And then I think he left right after that, went upstairs. And he saw the devotees were all like in sort of in shock. They were like, oh, all this time Prabhupada has told us that, Swamiji has told us that anyone who claims to be God is not God, he's a dog. And here it sounds like he's saying that he's God. And so they were in anxiety about that. And I forget exactly what happened, but before the initiation, either that night or the next morning, Prabhupada explained to him he's accepted as good as God because he's Krishna's representative. So that's the essential fact of our spiritual life, our spiritual understanding, that our philosophy, that there's a Chaitanya Guru, Krishna acts as a spiritual master from within the heart, and he acts as the guru, the human being who comes to us, or somehow Krishna puts us together, is that addressed by Prabhupada and Prabhupada on the event of the disappearance of his sannyas guru, or Bhaktisiddhanta, the sannyas guru. And he said that I was living in one place in India, you were living here. Who knew that I would come to America? Who knew that all you boys and girls would come to me? Who knew? And he said, but somehow these are all the arrangements of Krishna. So we don't know how we came to Prabhupada, how we found our spiritual master. We don't know. These are all very mysterious. Everything is a mystery. We don't know. What do we know? Anything. We don't know anything. I heard Prabhupada talking about on a lecture yesterday in England, 1973, and one point he was making was that nowadays it's the fashion, it's that people say, in my opinion, and this is everywhere, in my opinion, well, I think this, I think that, in my opinion this, in my opinion that, and Prabhupada was like, and it's like, it's sort of like, this is your divine right, that you're an independent person, you have a right to your own opinion. Or with that famous saying by some American, he said, I may not agree with your opinion, but I'll defend with my life your right to have it, or your right to express it. Is that that's supposed to be the glory of democracy, the glory of America, is that everyone can have their own opinion, and that's supposed to be like the ideal thing. And Prabhupada was saying just the opposite. Like, in fact, everything Prabhupada said was like shocking. Like, what? And Prabhupada said, who are you? You know, what is your opinion worth? Who are you? What do you know? Who are you? Like, who are you to have an opinion about, especially about God? I mean, you can have an opinion about what's the best car to drive, or something like that. Your opinion, fine, you have an opinion, but about God, what do you know about God? What do you know about the absolute truth? The only way to understand anything about the absolute truth is by hearing about it from authority. You can have an opinion, but when you come to the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, then all bets are off. You have to throw, we have to throw everything aside and say, now I'm a disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. And as Arjuna said, after Krishna spoke, he said, now I've heard what you said. I totally accept everything that you have said as truth. You can present questions or even opinions or doubts to the bona fide spiritual master, but and that's proper. You're supposed to present doubts and questions, never in a challenging spirit. The challenging spirit is always condemned, but in a spirit of, trying to understand. Actually, after all, you are someone. You do have a mind. You do have your conditioning. You do have the things that you've learned over the course of this life and many others. You do. You're not nothing. So there are things in your mind, and naturally when we come to someone who is presented. In the beginning it was only Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would say things like the spiritual master, these are the characteristics of a spiritual master, these are the characteristics of a pure devotee. And it wasn't long before the brand new devotees there figured out that when Prabhupada said these are the characteristics of a bona fide guru, these are the characteristics of a pure devotee, they pretty quickly they understood that those things applied to him. And he, not that he was saying that I am a pure devotee, but they understood that when he spoke about a pure devotee, they figured out that, hey, those characteristics are his. Those are his characteristics. So when you come to that understanding about someone, a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, then you have the right and the obligation to present questions and Prabhupada said in different places that this generally the spiritual master examines a prospective disciple for a year, and the prospective disciple also examines the spiritual master, and after some time, of course it's not always a year, it could be a moment in some cases, or it could be many years in other cases. But it's a general rule that they examine each other for a year. And then when they're satisfied that this is a good person to be a disciple, and this is a bona fide spiritual master, then the bona fide Vaishnava initiation can take place. And when you come to the conclusion of pranipatena, now a disciple and a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. So this is our understanding. The spiritual master is described as being a representative of Lord Nityananda, who is the original guru, the original spiritual master. And he is described as being the external manifestation of the super soul. He's described, the spiritual master is described as being the transparent via medium to Krishna. The question is, especially now in Kali Yuga, everyone thinks, who needs this priest? Who needs this guru? Who needs this pope? Who needs this minister? Who needs all this? I go to God. I can go to God directly. Why do I need this intermediary? But that's the... everyone in Kali Yuga is so puffed up. They things like that. But our idea, Krishna's idea is very different. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, And then your service unto him, the self-realized soul, can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So when you, it's like when you listen to Prabhupada talk on the, in the audio, yeah, then everything he says about Krishna, the philosophy of approaching Krishna, everything he says about Vrindavan, every question that's asked, he answers so simply and directly and with no hesitation. Not like he has to stop and think, I know that he's asking me about Vaikuntha or this or that. Let me think about that for a minute. Or he's asking about Krishna and Vrindavan. I'll do some research and I'll get back to you tomorrow. It was never like that. And he answered every question, and everything he said is so direct and to the point. And you can tell just by listening to his tone of voice and the degree of sureness in his voice, and not only conviction, but complete, even beyond conviction, complete understanding and knowledge and sureness in his voice that Prabhupada isn't like me. It's like if I've never been to Hawaii, but I've had a lot, my mother lived there, and she told me all about it. And if you ask me about it, I can tell you a lot about it. But I've never been there myself. And my information is good, but I've never been there. But if I've actually lived in Hawaii, and you've never been there, then I can tell you exactly what it's like. And there's no question about it. I lived it. So Prabhupada, there's no question that what he speaks about Vrindavan or speaks about any question, from why do you shave your head up why do we come here from the spiritual world, or any question, he answers so directly and perfectly, because he knows. One example that's given of the spiritual master is that I heard a long time ago. It's like if you're walking in a maze. They build these corn mazes in some of the farming states. They build a maze, they plow, they cut down different rows in a field of corn. And people can get lost in those mazes. They're really good. But if someone else is above the maze and looking down at it, and he can easily tell you, take a left, take a right, take a right, and you'll be there. You'll come out of the maze. So that's the... Because the analogy of the spiritual master, we're wandering around in the material world. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. We don't know anything. We're just stumbling around in the dark. But the spiritual master can see from above. Do this, do that, do this, do that. It's very simple. So that's so King Rahugana came to that point basically of accepting Jed Bar as the spiritual master. Therefore he says that you are one whose body emanates from the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. You are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, and the other analogy that Prabhupada gave all the time about the spiritual master was the postman, the post peon, we call it mailman, in India, or Prabhupada called it post peon. He picks up a letter from one place and delivers it to another place. He doesn't add anything to it, doesn't change it, he delivers the letter as it is. So the spiritual master hears from his spiritual master and he delivers it exactly as he heard it. From his spiritual master, he delivers it to other people, and that's his qualification for being a spiritual master. And the other, one other point that I'll stop with is that is sarva karana karana, the cause of all causes. I know the eternal argument from the atheist or the non-devoted, the person in ignorance, when you talk about God, is, oh, you believe in God. It's the cause of all causes. They don't usually know that. They don't know that phrase, but the sarva karana karana. You believe there's this person who's the cause of all causes. But I say, but why God? I say, but the question is, so where did God come from? You say it's the cause of all, and to you could say, well, that's a large logical argument. That's a logical question. Where, you say everything has a cause, but where did God come from? So that's like, to me, it's like, the most amazing thing, the most astounding thing to think about or meditate on is that there is God. There is such a thing as God. We see everything is here. I'm here, you're here. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, billions and billions of other people and all kinds of everything is going on. We don't know how, but obviously everything's here. So where did it come from? Why is everything here? This is the beginning of human life, the beginning of intelligence, to ask that question, where did everything come from? Why is anything here? And so for the atheist, the person who doesn't want to, the simple explanation is God. Everything is here because there's a supreme original person called God, Krishna, Allah, Jehovah. There's a supreme person who's the source of everything. And that's the simple explanation for everything. But for the person who doesn't want to accept that, the simple, obvious, direct explanation, but the thing is that you say God, all right, there's God, but that's mind-blowing. That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. What is God? All right, there's God, but why can't I understand? But the fact of the matter is that no, you can't understand. There's a statement by, maybe you can help me, but a statement by one of the acharyas said, until you accept that Krishna is inconceivable, then you can't understand anything about Krishna. Anybody know the source of the acharya? Anyway, this is a statement that unless you accept that you can't understand anything about God, then you can't, then if you accept that you can't understand anything about God, then you'll be able to understand something about God. So it's like a real, a dichotomy, ironic thing. Okay, except I can't understand God. Okay, now you're qualified to understand God. But we can't understand anything about Krishna until we come to the point of admitting that I don't understand. So the atheist is just the opposite. Atheists can't get past that point. That even if it makes sense to them, they just can't accept it, or they refuse to accept it. Because that's, after all, that's our whole meaning, that's the whole reason we come to the material world in the first place. Is that we don't want to accept that there's a supreme personality of God. So Krishna said, okay, you don't want to accept me, go to the material world, you forget all about me. So the atheist is the person who refuses to let go of that idea, is committed to that idea that no God, don't want God, I don't want God, there's no God. So therefore he's forced into, like, tell a story. This is in the last thing. One of my nieces down in Gidanagari, she started as a freshman at Penn State, and one of her first courses was philosophy of science. And she got a book, one of her freshman course textbooks in the philosophy of science, was how there can be something from nothing, or why there doesn't, I forget, I gotta get that title because it's really good. But the whole point of the book is that everything, yes, everything's here, but it can come from nothing. Everything that we see can come from nothing. They're so committed to the idea that there's no God that they have to write books and give lectures and everything. Why? No. Everything can come from nothing. There doesn't have to be anything. So we say, no, well, that would make sense, except for the fact that God doesn't do it. And the thing is that they say, well, you can't prove that, you can't prove your statement. And they'll say, well, you can't prove your statement that God exists. And we say, no, we can prove it. You can never prove that there's no God, but we can prove that there is God. All you have to do is take this prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, you have to engage in a little bit in the process. And you're a pure spirit soul also, so you can also understand that Krishna is God. So stop there, any questions or comments?